Good morning, and welcome to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry brought to you by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. The first broadcast of the Word of Grace took place on January 28, 1969, with the founding minister, the Reverend Donald Campbell. We are now entering into our 51st year. We are grateful to God for the comfort and inspiration which so many have received from the broadcast over the years. Financial support for our radio ministry comes from listeners throughout the Eastern Townships and beyond. We are grateful for the faithful support we have received. It is especially helpful to receive donations over the course of the year. Memorial donations given in memory of deceased relatives and friends may be made at any time. Our prayerful hope and expectation is that the broadcast will continue to be heard well into the future. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Remember also that you can access the program at any time on the website of CJMQ, www.cjmq.fm.
Good morning, and once again welcome to this programme of the Word of Grace on CGMQ Radio. My name is Nigel Parker, Minister of St Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, and together with our supporters and all who bring you this programme, we're glad to have you listening in to this broadcast. Today is Sunday, the 16th of August. Earlier this week, there was an eclipse of the sun, which could be seen from northern Siberia in Russia, through Arctic Canada and across to parts of Western Europe. Perhaps you caught a glimpse of the partial eclipse where you were. We'll be thinking about this morning. But first, words from Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech, they use no words, no sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the earth. In the heavens God has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens, makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth.
Oh,
Let us turn to our God in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do indeed say that the heavens declare your glory, and the skies proclaim the work of your hands. For morning by morning and sundown by sundown, we believe that your creation speaks without words to the ends of the earth, and we look at the beauty of the world that you made, and we worship you as our great creator. More than that, we give you thanks for your word, that you have not just left it to the stars and the moon and the sun to declare your glory, but that you have given us your word. We thank you that your law is perfect, reviving the soul, that your rules are true and right, more precious than gold and sweeter than honey. Let your truth guide us and bring joy to our hearts today. Let us confess the foundation of our faith to God, that God's perfect law revives the soul, that God's stable rule declares the simple, that God's just demands delight the heart, God's clear commands sharpen vision. God's faultless decrees stand forever, God's right judgments keep their truth. God, our Heavenly Father, it's your word's work to convict us of our sin and righteousness and judgment by the power of your Holy Spirit. Our faults hide within us. Forgive us ours. Forgive us for our waywardness and have mercy upon us. For those who keep God's covenant, all the paths of God are steadfast love, and when we confess, we are forgiven. May the words of our mouths and the thoughts of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Our reading this morning comes from Mark's Gospel, chapter 15, at verse 25, part of the account of the crucifixion of Jesus. It was 9 in the morning when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified 2 rebels with him, one on his right hand and one on his left. And those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, this King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe." Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. At noon, darkness came across the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." Someone ran and filled the sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a staff and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down," he said. And with a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." Amen.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God. Lord, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever wilt be. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness, morning by morning Your mercies I see. All I have needed Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. And springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses abroad, join with all nature in manifold witness to Thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness, morning by morning Your mercies I see. All I have needed Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, and a peace that endureth, Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness, morning by morning Your mercies I see. All I have needed Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord.
The sun is 400 times larger than the moon, and it's also 400 times further away, which makes the moon and the sun appear to us on Earth to be precisely the same apparent size. And so God, with mathematical perfection, we might say, makes the eclipses possible, when we can see things we never get to see, like mountainous ridges on the edges of the moon, and the sun's corona, a crown to the glory of God. Not to mention the diamond ring effect, just as the sun begins to peek back out. It's no surprise that many cultures have worshipped the sun and looked to its movements, together with those of the moon and the stars, to interpret and predict the future. And within the pages of the Bible, we read from Acts 2:20, The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and terrible day of the Lord comes. Or from Luke chapter 21 and verse 25, Jesus said, There shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations. C.H. Spurgeon took a longer view when he said, All that understand anything of God's works know very well that eclipses are as much a part of nature's laws as the regular sunshine, that an eclipse is no deviation from God's plan, but that it is a necessary consequence of the natural motion of the moon and the earth around the sun and each other, that there should be some stated periods be eclipses, and when we see the eclipse, we shall not look upon it as a miracle or anything out of the ordinary course of God's providence, but we shall say it is a necessity involved in the very plan whereby God governs the earth. Spurgeon goes on to say that just as solar eclipses are part of the purpose and the ordering of God, so also are those eclipses in our lives and our circumstances, that they too are nature, an eclipse is part of God's plan and is in fact involved in it, so we believe that in providence the eclipse shall sometimes overshadow the earth. The adversities, the wars, the famines, which sometimes fall on the human race, are but a part of God's plan of governing the earth and have some beneficial object in their falling upon us. And so just as in nature we have seed time and harvest, winter and summer, eclipse and sunshine, so the seasons fall in order to create the fruitfulness of the earth. The wildfires that destroy forests but clear out dead wood and bring forth new seeds on the earth, so also the eclipses of life have their place in the providence of God. Eclipses in providence, like eclipses in nature, are part of God's purpose and are necessarily involved in it. God is the same. His years thereon is no end, and from his fixed and settled path he has not swerved. His glory is undimmed, even when the eye cannot see it. His love is just as bright, even when the shining of it is concealed. He has not moved to the right hand nor to the left. With the Father of lights, there is no variableness, nor the shadow of change. Was there a solar eclipse when Jesus hung on the cross? No, it was Passover, which was always at full moon, which can only be seen when the moon is on the far side of the earth, opposite the sun. An eclipse happens at the new moon, when the moon is on the sun's side. And for this reason, we won't see the moon in the sky until we see its shadow pass in front of the sun. But when the sky went dark at the crucifixion, the moon would have been in the opposing sky. Mark chapter 15 tells us that it began at 9 a.m. And for the first 3 hours it was daylight. And then from noon until 3 p.m. there was darkness over all the land. So beginning at the noon, when the sun was at its peak, this miraculously astounding event takes place. Not a natural solar eclipse, but it was in a sense a spiritual eclipse. This was an eclipse of the sun, S-O-N, every part is a darkening of the sun, S-U-N. It was a darkening of the sun, S-O-N, whereby our suns blocked the sun, S-O-N, of God, as he bore the sins of the world. The darkness of the cross was as the darkness in the book of Deuteronomy, when God told the people their disobedience would lead to many curses, including this one from Deuteronomy 28 verse 29. And thou shalt grope at noonday, as the blind gropeth in the darkness. And for 3 hours the people stumbled around in darkness like the blind. The darkness was blinding. For the first 3 hours Jesus was on the cross, when it was daylight, there was a crowd of people at the foot of the cross, mocking, belittling, and ridiculing our Lord. And Mark tells us that it was right in the middle of their mocking that the sun was darkened, when the darkness came, that the mocking stopped. It was as if the sun was ashamed of what human beings were doing to God's Son, S-O-N. It refused to set its light upon this wicked thing that we as human beings were doing to our Creator. The stars hid their faces, the earth moaned, all of nature wept. God the Father turned back. When Christ was born, there was a great light, a star that shone over Bethlehem. But when Christ died, there was a great darkness over the land. But the darkness that fell upon the cross was the judgment of God on human sin. The judgment that we should receive for our sins, Jesus took for us. He who knew no sin became sin for us. The book of the prophet Isaiah says, "He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace fell upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." The darkness was God's way of saying, "I am judging him, so I won't have to judge you. I'm condemning him, so you won't be condemned." And after 6 hours of excruciating pain and suffering and torture, three of them in the darkness, experiencing the wrath of God upon him, as Jesus' suffering was coming to the climax, Jesus began to feel for the first time in eternity a dark separation from the Father. At this very moment he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" But the eclipse of the cross would not last long, for praise be that 3 days later, the light of the world was resurrected from the tomb, and the hope of the world was born to bring light and life to all who believe and trust in him. Amen. Let us again turn to God and let us pray. We give you all thanks and praise, O God, for you alone are good, and your steadfast love is forever. The creation of the world was your doing, and is a marvel to our eyes. Your Son Jesus, though one with you, gave up all he had, taking on human flesh and walking into the place of highest honour. He has opened the gates of justice and become our salvation. And so with shouts of joy we greet his appearance and proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord, to your glory for ever. Pray this day for the persecuted and silenced, and we lift up all who suffer false accusation, mock trials, unjust judgment, or oppression today. Grant them your peace and your ultimate vindication. We pray for the broken and forsaken, that those who feel deep despair or who cry out in darkness, who feeling abandoned, may you meet them in their suffering through the remembrance that you experienced human forsakenness. for the bold and courageous. Grant ordinary believers the bold courage to stand up, claim Christ publicly, and care for the vulnerable and deceased. And for the nations and sceptics, Lord, would you soften hardened hearts across the world, including those who pass by the cross with indifference or mockery, that they too may look upon the Saviour and believe. And hear us now as further we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine, Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.
You've been listening to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry brought to you each Sunday at this time by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. Our church is located on Queen Street in Lennoxville. We have a strong tradition of service in this area. We continue to work for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. We honor the past and welcome the future by being faithful in the present. I encourage you to worship in a church of your choice, a place where you can grow in your faith and actively serve in the cause of Christ. Our prayer is that each church in our community will be blessed as we are faithful to God. Please consider supporting our broadcast with a financial donation. We rely upon your support. Tax receipts are issued for contributions. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec. The postal code is J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Bye for now. Thanks for listening, and may God's blessing be with each one of us.